Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me are three amazing panelists from No Dunks, Jay Skeets, Lee Ellis, and Jason Doyle. Welcome to Is This Good?
Oh, it's great to be back, yeah.
Yes, really is. What happened to last week's show is the real question.
Well, I was back in Las Vegas doing some work. Yeah. It was very uninteresting. I missed you guys.
What, you were working the tables? Blackjack?
No, I was slanging jackets, as we say.
Slanging jackets.
I was selling jackets to the good people of Las Vegas.
I was going
to
say.
Slanging jackets sounds like you're playing craps a little bit.
I'm just not sure Vegas is the right spot to be selling jackets. Is it? I mean...
No, well, it's a conference or a show a where people are coming in from other conventions. That's what I'm looking
right,
for.
Right.
People are coming in from far and wide, Hawaii, Colorado.
Did you
to
watch
buy their jackets?
Did you watch the Morty Seinfeld episode of Seinfeld when he gets all the jackets shipped up from Florida? Remember that one?
Well, I'm working with my father, so every interaction we have is an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah. Wow, who's the Jack Klompus of your family then?
everyone is Jack Klompus.
Man, this is great.
Awesome. Well, it's great to be back here. Yeah. I know we got some, of course, new topics to tackle here today and debate, hopefully. Mm.
Yes, so if you have topics for a future show, send them to me at StartersMatt on Twitter or email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. And if you're watching live on YouTube, be good and vote in the polls. Mm-hmm. The premise of the show is very simple. I'm going to give you a topic and you tell me if it's good. But first, some follow-up. Last month, we discussed whether standing at a seated concert was good. We debated the right of the ticket holder to sit in their seats with an unobstructed view versus the right of a ticket holder to stand up and rock the fuck out.
Right.
But recently, Lee, you went to an Elton John concert, and it seems like the Rocket Man himself has weighed in on this controversy. Can you tell us about this sign that you saw, Lee?
Well, I'm very excited to say that obviously Elton John listens to the show. I mean, why else would he have put that up there to basically say Elton John encourages all his guests to stand and dance in front of their seats. Please keep the aisles clear, but express yourself. And so, I mean, someone who's been in the business for as long as he has, if it's okay with Elton, then, I mean, who's really going to push back and say, well, if Elton John says it's okay, then everybody should be up there dancing.
Hold on. I wish you could have seen... Sorry, I got to pull back the curtain for a second. I wish you could have seen what was happening behind the scenes here with that graphic up. Shout out to everyone joining us live on YouTube. Because Matt, right before the show went live, asked Lee, hey, can you read the text from that photo that you took at the Elton John concert? Yeah. Lee says, absolutely. Matt sets him up. Here we go. But Lee, he's got the glasses. He's got the Elton John glasses. He's getting pumped to put those on. Takes off his actual reading glasses.
Yes.
Then realizes he can't see or read the screen. Has to like flip back off the Elton's, put these on, and then here we are. Anyway, it was flawless.
Yeah. I should have worn contact lenses, but I just don't like wearing contact lenses unless I'm playing sport. So instead, I've got these babies. But I mean, look, Elton, this is the third time I've seen him on the final farewell tour, which started in 2017, I think it was.
This one's it.
This one's it. And he did the old, so great to be back in Atlanta, one of my home cities. And we all know that it was true for a while. He hasn't lived here for over 20 years, but I think there's still a bit of an urban myth that a few people say, I think I saw him in Publix the other day.
And it was just you wearing those glasses.
Everyone's like, fine, yeah, we believe it. So fantastic show. Elton was great. And I mean, case closed. I know you've got that new segment sort of, Matt, like, settle this. this one has been settled. Dance at concerts, get up, express yourself, and have fun.
Now, was that up for like at the start of the show? Did it come up every song?
Like, no, it was like because he was supposed to go on at 8 o'clock, but people in Atlanta weren't in their seats, so it was up.
Blame Atlanta!
Well, he's telling them to stand up. Which one do you
people
want?
Were,
their seats are standing.
8:30 is when the curtain rose, if you like, and that's when it was. That's when the gig started. So it was up for we got there about. We got there probably, just before 8, and it was up several times.
It was just letting people know just when Elton rocks out, stand up and dance, and then if someone complains, you can say, sorry, Elton's orders.
I'm doing what Elton's asking me to do here. Yeah. So,
I also love that it's a passive-aggressive way to say, don't stand on your seat. Like, the exact verb was, Elton welcomes you to dance in front of your
seat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get crazy.
Because, I mean, I think I don't know. I don't know if we needed the in front of your seat. But Lee, or JD, can we play the video of Lee enjoying himself at this concert?
Oh, I don't think I've seen it.
Okay, so here we go. Now, the song playing, it's playing low, but it's I'm Still Standing. And you can see everyone is standing.
Absolutely.
And Lee, I mean, I can nary see a seated body in
absolutely and like most concerts, they start hot, a lot of dancing early on in the songs, then they have a bit of a lull
for the artist, catch their breath,
and then they catch up with I think he had Saturday Night's Alright, he had Crocodile Rock, and then he hit us with I'm Still Standing. At that point the whole venue was rocking. I mean, Mercedes-Benz, by the way, too. I thought it was at State Farm, didn't realize until I was driving there, and I was like, oh, it's at Mercedes-Benz tonight. Huge. I mean, it doesn't make huge a difference
right
to
there.
You. Yeah, it's right there. But I was just like, oh, we're going to Mercedes-Benz. So there must be, for a concert, 55, I would think, 55,000.
Wow.
It's a lot of standing. Can you show the picture of of that one person that's sitting next to Lee?
Ooh.
Okay. There is a man there.
Well, Lee has to put his glasses back on.
There you go. You see?
Pants, yes.
He's sitting by... Now, it sort of looks like he's behind you, but I think that's just a trick of the camera. So he seems to be one row over from you.
Yeah, so I'm actually right next to a wall there. There was only 5 seats in our row. A fantastic place to be in for a concert.
Wow, that's great.
We got the whole family in, and there was nobody on the aisle there, so we could move in and out as we needed to. So I guess that guy's sitting, but...
But let's just be clear. He looks fucking miserable.
Exactly. Of course he is. I mean, and this, by the way, I'm Still Standing came on, I think it was the last song before the encore. So if you've been in the concert that long and you're still not enjoying yourself, it was probably not the right decision to go there,
Or he's tired. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's been standing the whole damn show.
Well, but the thing is, we just came off that, like I said, that sort of ballad set where there's 4 or 5 in a row where you weren't standing and you
weren't
rocking out.
Very ironic for him to be sitting during the song that's yelling, I'm still standing. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay, well, we can consider the matter settled. Elton John has weighed in.
Yeah, you should be standing.
It is good to stand at a
seat
concert.
Yes.
Did you force your kids to stand?
No, not at all.
Did you force your kids to be there? Because it looked like you were holding Sebastian down.
We were dancing.
He was holding him up.
That's their family favorite. In fact, that's a meme in our house. You know, if ever you're like, do you want any more dinner? Yeah, because I'm still hungry.
You got a house meme.
You've got a house meme. Yeah. You know, if it's like, if we're waiting for something, I'm still waiting. You know, they love to just like hit me with that because they know I love it. They love it. And they love to work off that. So,
what about anyone ever yelled that from the can?
No.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. Here we go. First off, summer's over, but it's still hot in a lot of the country. So let's get to this question from Riley W. While it's still relevant. Water parks, are they good? Fun in the sun? Or to your knee in the pee.
Yeah, that's the debate here. Yeah. Does the fun factor outweigh the absolutely unsanitary conditions? Mm. I mean, I was thinking about this, Matt. I think I've been to a water park only once in my life.
Like a
once?
Like
once?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a
solid
water park.
I've been to a lot of amusement parks, but only once did I ever do the double... because it was at Canada's Wonderland, I believe. The amusement park / water park.
Yeah.
I say / because there's sort of 2 different parks, but you get the ticket that you can go into both. But only once have I ever done it.
I think I'm the same, actually, though. Like, I always go to the water area of the park, but I don't really think I've been specifically... There's one in France that I really want to go to, the water circus there. I tried to squeeze it in this summer. I couldn't get there.
But, does Elton perform there at the water
He should.
Circus?
He should. It's beautiful. Right on the border there with Geneva. But yeah, I'm the same. But I always, I do love.
Like you can slide from one country into the other?
Well, the way these slides go, they're like rinks where you go flying down and then you go off up in the air like, you know, 50 feet. People GoPro it all the time. It's awesome.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds pretty
cool. So that'd be awesome going one country to the other. You know, throw your passport up in the air.
Didn't you go to that water slide, Lee, in, is it in the
Aruba.
Bahamas where it's in Aruba where you go through sharks or something? Or was that not it?
Go through sharks.
Like tunnels with like the, yeah, the aquatic animals.
No. I went through, in Aruba, I went through one of those ones that's a straight drop where you're standing there, they close you off into a capsule, and then the underneath your feet, it's like a trapdoor. It just pops, and then you go straight.
It's like some Dr. Evil shit.
Yeah, it is. It is unreal. The exhilaration you get because it's the countdown. It's the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you're like, oh my God. And you've seen people just like freaking out. You can hear them screaming as they go into a black hole. But once you're going down and you realize you can't hold on and you can't stop
you're not in control.
No, but it's awesome. It's awesome.
And, but you can make it better by adding a customs officer 2/3 of the way down that water park slide where you have to show your passport, have to get it stamped.
Which passport works here?
Okay, so you haven't been. Wait, have
well,
you been
well,
to
so I have, park? But I would go, but it's like you're sort of saying, like if you go to a summer theme park, often they have like a water area.
Yeah.
So,
how can you do both in one day?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
You can't.
That seems, but, you must have to be there for 15 hours to pull that off.
I think you can do it. Yeah, I've done it.
I want to ride the rides.
Yeah.
So I guess the water comes secondary to me.
Yeah.
The water is so fun though. Like I find I get drawn into the water park and then I'm at the water park for the rest of the time.
Oh, interesting.
Or if I'm in the theme park, at Wonderland specifically, I will spend more time getting doused by that the flume. You know what I mean?
Oh,
on that bridge everybody stands on and they get completely drenched.
Yeah. Because why? Because it's usually you're going during the middle of the summer.
It's the middle of summer, you're stinking hot, and it's just hilarious being completely clothed and water rushing over you. Yeah,
it's refreshing when it's that hot. Yeah.
Okay, so but guys, a water park is pretty damn gross.
I don't care about that.
But like any roller coaster, like theme park is full of.
Do you go in pools?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Anytime you're touching the ride, the handles, all that stuff, it's all the same.
It's not covered in feces.
And shit?
You're not walking into a pool that's got shit just flowing
around. Yes, you are.
Apparently you are.
Where are you going where you're seeing that?
I would say even, you know, on top of the kids' pee and crap, what about just the sweat, the sunscreen, the skin, the hair, the...
But how's that any different just in a public pool?
The inevitable
how is it different? Because
along.
In well, okay, public pool, sure. I don't go to those generally often either. But a pool with just friends, there's eight of us, not 8,000 of us, I guess.
No, I know, but there's the kiddies pool at a public pool. Like now, of course, the kids are pissing all that, but there's no poo just floating around. People aren't just like, all right, I'm dodging the poo.
Hold on.
Okay, there's right.
poo.
You do that now.
There's
okay.
No, there's
okay.
No.
I'm still
okay, no,
dodging.
You're right.
A little piece of shit coming at me in the wave.
See,
it's good.
It's pretty rare to see a log floating down the lazy river.
Exactly.
But there's shit in there, man.
No, there's
there is.
Well, absolutely there is.
Okay. Well, okay. If you see shit and you still just dive into the pool, like, I mean.
Go with right now. You go and wipe your butt without doing anything. Go into my bathroom. Wipe your butt and show it to me. Because if there's anything on it.
But you're
that's
implying,
going in the pool.
You're implying it's like Andy Dufresne when he leaves Shawshank out there. And no, I mean, it's not like that.
I am not implying
you
that. I'm just telling
that.
You there's shit in the pool.
That's a real lazy river.
But it's like Vegas, for example. Like I refuse to put anything other than my waist
fair,
in water.
Like I said, all that other stuff,
and that's
too.
That's what I mean, yeah. So that, to me, is the same with a public pool. Yes, there's less people and people aren't drinking and not leaving to use the restroom, by the way, in those pools. But, yeah, you know, I just any sort of public thing where there's people on rides and all that, they're all gross.
Okay.
I mean...
So that doesn't stop you.
I mean,
go ahead, Matt.
It's just... I don't understand. It's conclusive that water parks and pools are more bacteria-ridden than a roller coaster.
Well...
You're immersed in feces. And, but yes, you, I don't understand what it. Where,
when that
what's
thing comes down, when that railing thing comes over your head, and you're putting your hands on it, that's
it's
as
covered
gross
in poo.
As, that's as gross as anything else. I mean.
Okay. I mean,
hold on. Who's on pole patrol?
Oh,
here?
me. Sorry, I'm really loving this conversation. Sorry, I'll get that pole going.
Wait, what about the fact that you're walking around barefootly and you get like foot fungus and you got to go into the bathroom barefoot?
Well, I mean, I'm wearing my flip flops everywhere unless they're not allowed.
Right.
Well, you're not wearing them on the rides, are you?
Well,
you're sliding
again,
down
I mean,
the slide in flip flops.
Well, not on a slide, but in a ride that sort of takes you up and you go down like a roller coaster. The water, well, wet one for that you are. I mean, you're wearing flip flops on that. I mean,
yeah, but the flume is not part of the water park ecosystem.
Yeah, but
really.
we're saying you're going down a big water park slide.
Yeah,
you're not taking your flip flops.
You weren't allowed to take your phone down to the one in Aruba. I wanted to try to shoot that, but they wouldn't let
me. They wouldn't let you.
No.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So it's like so a water park is an amusement park for your feet. Is that what you're saying, Matt? I think.
Well, I'm saying I could name. First of all, I generally look up the topics, and water parks, I've never seen a topic on the show where it's just like 10 most disgusting things about a water park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
25 secrets of water parks they don't want you to know. Mm. Like, and it wasn't like, here's what's good about it. It was all bad, 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 bad.
Right.
First of all, they're way more dangerous.
Well, yeah.
Like, I forget what the statistic was. Maybe I wrote it down here. But anyways, I think
I saw this, Matt. 4,200 people annually are sent to emergency rooms from suffering injuries on public water slides.
4,200?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's way high. More than...
I mean, but that's not... I mean, back injuries and stuff. You're probably cutting yourself up on some of these.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
People, like a kid could stop like halfway down, you know, like he pushes the passport collector down, but then now the kid stopped there.
Right.
And there's also just so much more variance, right? Like you're going down. It's not like you're on a rail like you are on a roller coaster or in a cup, like a teacup or something like that. Like depending on your speed and weight, your body can go in a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I could just say like a ton of bad things about them, but I think they're better than amusement parks. I think it's more, it says summer to me. It's more fun. It's more immersive, pardon the pun. It's more fun to get wet, your shirt's off, and it's just a more exciting place to be. And is there anything more exciting than looking at a water park map? Like, you know, that like sort of cartoony drawn thing with all the pools and the umbrellas and the spraying water.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely saying they're good.
Eric,
I'm also willing to admit that they're filthy.
Yeah, sure, sure.
That surprises me, Matt, knowing that you're a bit of a, you know, hygiene phobe.
Isn't that
afraid of hygiene?
Well, you know, you're a little sensitive about, you know, things being wiped down.
Look, I told you, there was a show where I volunteered to lick my phone. I'll lick it again.
Yeah, there he goes.
Oh, there you go. I'm licking the phone. It doesn't bother me. I'd rather lick the shoulder protector of a roller coaster than swallow a mouthful of pool water.
100%.
Wow. Now that is a pick-em payoff if I ever heard one. So Eric Harper agreed with you, Matt. Like you were talking about looking at the little map. He went one step further, and I think it was to what JD was saying. Like Eric wrote in the stream team here, in the lazy river, in the wave pool, whatever we're calling it today, the design of water parks, they're pretty groovy. I think that's a great way to put it. They are. They do. They're colorful. They look cool. They're sort of, you know, they're always like intertwining some of the slides and stuff. That part is neat.
Different colors.
Yeah.
And they always said that the splash emoji, you know, like now it's just jizz. But back then, it meant a good time splashing around with friends in a water park.
Right.
All right. So what are the people saying?
Okay. Yeah. Let's look at the poll here. Pull it up. I did put it up late, but... Overall, people are saying water parks are good, 66%, in fact. So about two-thirds here saying thumbs up on water parks. The other third saying no, not for me. Probably.
So what did you guys say? Good?
I guess I'm not good because I would have been going to them. There's a reason I'm not going to them. I mean, we are forgetting they're filled with kids.
That's
now
very true.
You could counter an amusement park is I would counter an amusement park does a better job of hey put the kids over there. Because of these kids' rides.
Yeah.
And then, okay, now we've got some more adult rides or for whatever. You got to be a little older or at least taller to ride these ones. So I'm no. Otherwise, I would have been going to them all the time. So I'm down.
Where yeah, you... I mean, I'm the same that I haven't been to tons, but I want to go to this one in France. So
this you know, one,
this one
really...
particular one.
God, yeah. this one yeah. where you can
you got to check
you
it
can
out.
See
man.
Geneva
yeah, Water Circus. Yeah. yeah.
All right. Mm.
And, I'm good. I'm put me down for good.
Okay.
I like
yeah.
it.
Okay. Okay. So you three
put
to
me
one.
Down for good. I almost want you to run a poll that's like, are water? Do you agree that in spite of liking water parks, that they're dirty? But I don't need people to tell me that.
yeah.
I know that.
What's the?
I know that.
What's the
10
best?
10 grams of poop. 10 grams of poop can wash off a child's butt in a pool.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That's a statistic that I read from the CDC.
what
and
is?
They
the...
haven't gotten anything wrong.
yeah, Matt. What, or for everyone here and everyone joining us live, what is the best ride at a water park? I mean, I say ride, but it could be the lazy. I guess the lazy river is a ride. The wave pool is a ride. Is in this.
Yeah, it's the one where you're, I think you're in a tube and you're going down and like you're banging against the walls and then you kind of, you go down a bit of a slide, you stop in the pool, then you slowly work your way to the next slide.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh yeah, it's a real, like these
so
are.
So you're like, tiered water slides basically.
Imagine like a ski hill in the summer.
Yeah.
And like you're taking the chairlift up.
Oh wow.
And then this thing's coming down the side of the mountain.
Okay.
Look, there's a whole world of water parks that apparently you don't even know about.
No, I don't.
Maybe you're not qualified to be saying that they're not good.
I probably am not. As I said, I've only been once. I do. Okay. I like, you were saying, like, you know, I'm a fear junkie. I like those.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
been on the ones where
yeah.
the bottom drops and you just
yeah,
go
yeah,
like
yeah.
100 miles an hour. Holy
yeah.
crap. That's scary.
Yeah.
And that's good. I
Being
like
out
that.
Of control like that, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like,
okay.
Hold
we
on.
We do
hold
up
on.
To.
No, we don't have to move on.
We do have to move on. Yeah,
okay, let's move on.
Next topic
I can talk
is like
about water parks.
So important.
Okay,
this next
go
topic
ahead.
Is so important that I don't want to give it short shrift.
Okay.
The Phantom of the Opera is Broadway's longest running show, and it's going to close on February 18th.
Wow.
Oh. After, Lee, you want to guess how many years it's been on Broadway?
33.
Oh, very good. 35.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Okay, so it's a great time to answer Jan B's question. She asks, musicals. Are they good?
I think we have to let JD.
Oh, okay,
first.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Have
oh,
to.
Okay.
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera, not good. Let's just say that right now. 35 years aside, that is one of the worst musicals. Topped maybe only by Cats, which is the worst musical I have ever seen. Sorry, Andrew Lloyd Webber, but I'm all in on music. I love musicals. Love them. You know, I tried to make a list of, you know, all the musicals I've seen and the ones that I don't like compared with the ones that I do like. And the likes are like there's Phantom of the Opera and there's Cats. And that's basically it. I love musicals. They're great.
But why do they speak to you or sing to you, I should say?
I just think they're awesome. I mean, now listen.
The creativity.
I like the creativity. I love music. I like happiness and joy, man. Like, they're awesome. I mean, what? You have to see them live, though. That's the thing.
Mm.
Like, I know, Skeets, you watched Hamilton on Disney Plus,
yes,
and
I
you
did.
Were like,
I was like,
fine.
Totally.
It's a complete, I couldn't even get through it watching it. And I've seen that musical 3 times.
Oh, in person.
In person.
Right, right.
So,
right.
You know. It's. I know people like to shit on it now, but it won a Pulitzer Prize. The music is great in it. It's genius.
Is the music great in it? That's
I yes, it
I
is.
Have.
Of course,
that's
it
a question
is.
I have.
Of course,
here's
it
what
is.
Here's what I don't like.
What are
here's
you
what I don't
about?
Like. I don't like when people try to tell you that the music in a musical is good for that genre. So, for instance. I remember when Spring Awakening came out.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but I was like, I don't like musicals. People were like, you're going to love this. You like rock music, right? I'm like, yes, I do love
rock
music.
Stands all the time.
They're
yeah.
like,
concerts are
this
too.
Is good. This music is like, you'd hear this on the radio. You'd love this album. And guess what? No, it fucking sucks. And is Hamilton, I mean, Skeets, I mean, you probably listen to the most hip hop of anyone of the four of us
right.
here. Not to put you out as an expert, but would you say that for hip hop it's good? Like, would you listen to that alongside like
no.
Biggie and Tupac and you know, I don't know,
no,
Schoolboy Q and then throw on
not.
Hamilton?
Of course not.
Well,
I mean, but the subject matter matters, I guess. When you're talking
well,
about hip-hop or anything really. But
if the music in musicals is so good, why are jukebox musicals so popular? Where it's just like Billy Joel, we take all the good songs of Billy Joel and now that or ABBA and now that's Mamma Mia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm starting to suspect that the music itself isn't that good. If we have to take,
it's because people are dumb and they go to a musical and they want to hear songs that they've heard before. Like when you go to Cats and you sit through the whole fucking worst experience of your life, and then Memory comes on and everybody loses their shit because, oh hey, I've heard this one before, and that's all it is. I mean,
so Cats has songs that they wrote for obviously the musical, and then there's real songs. What you're saying?
No. What's Memory?
I don't know what you're
Memory. Memory, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Heard it before.
It's like a super popular hit.
It's a hit song from the musical. That's a song that was a hit from a musical. Hamilton,
I think Barbara Streisand did it too, didn't she?
She might have, yeah, actually, now that you mention it.
I know she's no Rum Tum Tigger. But...
No, Tugger, come on.
Oh.
Tigger.
Here's another question I have for you. Do you find it weird that, like, if I were to ask you who are your favorite singers, just name anyone, like let's say a Bob Dylan, a Neil Young,
Elton John.
Yeah. So you have like the people that have more personality in their voice that have odder voices, like a Leonard Cohen or something like that. But then you have like an Elton John or a Billy Joel, a more classically normal voice, or like, I don't know, Fiona Apple or Kate Bush. But everyone in a musical's voice sounds the same. There's no personality to it. It all feels like sort of this, like, they're just smiling and... I listened to a bunch of...
Have you watched a musical? Like, what are you talking about?
Yes, I threw on a musical playlist this morning to get myself in the mood.
Wow.
I had an erection that I needed to make it go down. So I put on some musicals.
Okay.
And... everyone's voice sounds the same.
Yeah,
it's like this too perfect down. No, it's not even down the middle. It's, I don't know. It just is no personality to it.
Hmm.
Okay, well, Sarah's sort of agreeing with you here in the stream team. I hate the way actors in musicals tend to sing the song. She says there's something tacky about the way so many songs in musicals are sung. And I think...
Chuggy, if you will.
I think a lot of people, when you ask them, do you like musicals? If they don't, and you say, why? They probably haven't been to many, like you're saying, JD. It is an experience. I agree with that, going to theater. But they would say, I'm guessing, they're corny. Right?
100%.
Right.
100%.
I feel like the number one complaint towards musicals. Where are you falling on this?
No, I love them. I think they're great. But they are definitely different. Like, for example, The Lion King in person, I think, is even better than the movie. Like, seeing that. Yeah.
Okay.
Celine Schoenmaker right now, I think she still is, in the West End in London. She's Phantom of the Opera. She's got an incredible voice. You may have seen, she went viral about a year ago. There was a busker on the street singing Phantom of the Opera. And she went and joined him and sung with him, and it was incredible. Mm. So I'm surprised that it is ending, because it has just been around forever, and it's good. It's fine. It's not the best musical of all time, but it's good.
What's your favorite musical?
Yeah, that's a good question.
My
West Side Story.
West Side Story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
so.
Classic. I mean, yeah, that was probably the first one I saw too. I mean, that must have been going for a while, too. That one's easily 30 years, I would think. I've seen a few Stomp. That was actually pretty good in person.
Is that a musical?
Do they sing?
Yeah. I thought they just bang on things.
No, they're singing and dancing. I mean, that's a thing, like a musical like Grease, the movie. That's a musical though, isn't it? I mean, that
Grease is absolutely a musical.
Yeah. But I didn't know if you meant for this one.
Grease is good. That's a good case.
Like, exactly. But I've seen that as well as the stage show, and it was good. But the movie's probably better for that. But then, the movie's got a bit of a sort of that was a huge movie as well, so I don't know if...
These ones, like The Lion King even, like taking a movie or...
But Grease was a musical first, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah, that, it was a musical, I'm saying then it became that's a like, movie. To me, I mean, that's just... I think that's the real musical, instead of taking something that's already super popular in pop culture
and then formatting it
into a musical. Like, of course it's fine, and it could be a huge hit, but I'm thinking like... these ones that you guys are saying, the Phantom of the Opera and stuff like that. Yeah. Or maybe that's based off of a movie for all I know. I don't know.
Skeets, what's your favorite musical?
Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
Don't they just stomp and shit?
That's the only reason I said it. Because I was like, when you said stomp, I'm like, is that the Blue Man Group? Is that what they're called? No, they're just they're just blue guys banging on things.
No, you used to be able to get cheap tickets like for the matinee shows in London and stuff. And so you just go along and see it. It's great. I think the acting is incredible in those. You know, to be able to sing and perform and have that high energy and to, you know, be able to do that time and time again, I think is pretty good.
I mean, I grew up in a place called Stratford, Ontario, guys. Yeah. And it's a small little town in southern Ontario that believes in true art. Shakespeare plays. So I'm growing up with my King Lear's. And My Fair Lady, I don't know, I guess that is My Fair Lady.
Yes, of course.
I remember seeing that one when I was a kid. That was good.
Yeah. In Stratford?
Yes, I did. Wow. Yes, I did.
Wow, they stooped to doing a
yes,
musical.
That's right.
I saw they Camelot ran out of Henry's. In Stratford.
You saw, oh, there you go. There you
with
go.
The great Robert Goulet.
Wow.
He wasn't in that one.
I haven't seen all the classics, I guess, that you guys are saying. Like, I like to go and see. Like, I know you... Like, what's the spooky one? Halloween one? What's that? You saw it not too long ago.
I don't know. Halloween one?
Well, I thought there was a witches one or something.
Oh, witches, yeah.
Wicked. That's
good.
It. That's
Wicked's
it.
Wicked's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you go frequently.
I go a lot. Yeah.
And so I'm always asking you. So I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah.
But, like, I like the movie Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. That's a jukebox
musical.
Music.
But that's a jukebox musical.
Oh, see, I never heard that term until you said it. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah,
what's going on with the intermissions there, JD? Well, why are they stopping? Let's just push through this thing.
Oh, I'm very grateful for an intermission. I just saw Jesus Christ Superstar, and there was no intermission. And I was like,
how long?
Busting for a piss. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
It was 2 hours or something. So it didn't really warrant it. And actually, ultimately, Matt, it was better without, like, as a show. It was just more cohesive. But that was awesome. 50th anniversary of Jesus Christ Superstar. They're on tour.
You can't bring your food into the theater anyway.
What do you mean?
Well, at a movie, you go out. I mean, there used to be intermissions in movies. You can go out and bring your food back.
Yeah, you can bring it.
At a musical, you got to shove those junior mints in your mouth before. As the first of all, when the lights start turning on and off. Yeah. I mean, I guess that is
signal.
The best way to tell you it's starting.
Great signal. They should do that at concerts and stuff like that. Yeah.
You can bring your food in if you go to the Fox here in Atlanta.
Oh, really? Okay.
In. Absolutely.
On the Great White Way, you cannot, at least as far as far as I know. All right. So, and by the way, I used to like musicals, okay? I grew up, Montreal's not very far from New York. We had friends that lived there. My parents, they would drive my sister and I there. And I'd saw Phantom. I saw Miss Saigon. Tommy, even.
Mm.
I mean, there's one where, okay, some of that stuff does sound like legit good music.
There were, like, at least 3 hits off of that album when it first came out.
Yeah, but you know what? I hadn't gone to one in a while, and then we went to see Spamalot, and I was like, this ticket was so goddamn expensive, and it was not worth it in any way. And then since then, I've been off. Mm.
Yeah. So, I haven't seen that one. Yeah, Spamalot, is that a musical?
It's a musical. Yeah.
Okay.
What do the people say?
Hey, I have a question because I haven't seen a lot of these. In these musicals you're seeing, all these huge ones you're seeing,
mm-hmm.
are they singing everything?
It depends on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jesus Christ Superstar, definitely yes.
Okay.
Spring Awakening is, I can't remember. Yeah. Last thing is.
There's no talking in Jesus Christ Superstar? No,
it's always a song?
Yeah.
We should do a podcast. We should try No Dunks the Musical. Well, we've done that in back in the Basketball Jones days. Yeah, what am I saying? I was part of a musical.
That's right.
Yeah. My Matt said my voice was very average and very sounded like everyone else.
You know why they sing like that, Matt? It's the technique because they're in a live theater. They have to hit the back of the room usually, and they're dancing as well. So there's a technique to it for sure. But I disagree. I think that the good actors they come through. The characters come through in the songs.
Well, I guess I'm just a hater. Are the people haters, Skeets? Oh, wow.
This one,
those musicals?
Well, this one was interesting. If we were going to call it right now, it would be damn tight, and I will. 52% say musicals are good. Started strong. Yeah. I saw it at like 60, 65, and then it's come back to sort of more of a 50-50. People are torn on the musical.
I'm surprised. Mm. I thought it would have been higher than that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Me too. People just don't like joy.
Don't like joy.
They just don't like joy.
Or they
joy.
Find it. I mean, I asked Nora this, and she was no. She finds generally sort of like, I don't want to call it average singing because these people are pretty impressive. And you're right. There's ones that are much more talented than others. But she's like, it is a cringe factor that she can't shake with it.
Fair.
Yeah.
I get it. But if you get past that, Awesome. Your life is going to be better.
So you're saying just wear like earplugs to a musical and you'll enjoy the hell out of it. Looks awesome. You just don't want to hear them singing.
Just get into it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Let loose, Nora. Come on. Cats. Stand.
Maybe
let's go.
Maybe you should be told to stand at a musical so then you can get into it. You know?
Well, I mean, these seats at a musical, they're covered in shit.
Well, yeah, don't touch anything. Go with
something. Disgusting. Do you met old people going to musical theaters? They crap more than a kid.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, Lee, because famously it is said of Mamma Mia that it's so good that the people were dancing in the aisles. Mm-hmm. That's what people always say about Mamma Mia. They just can't control it. Dancing Queen comes on and they're just out there pirouetting on the red velvet floors.
You're telling me you didn't like Mamma Mia, Matt?
Well, but I love ABBA. But
yeah, exactly.
ABBA.
But I'd rather hear the song. Is it ABBA or ABBA?
It's ABBA, but whatever.
No, go with ABBA.
I've gotten that A sound so beaten out of me.
Yeah, you have.
Like being in America, like taco, nacho, pasta, that now I say ABBA, and now I'm fucking saying it.
Cots. I love cots.
Yeah, but I'd rather hear them Benny and Bjorn singing than the original cast recording.
Yeah, Meryl Streep is great in it, so come on.
Moving on.
Wow.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Our next topic comes from Cooper S., who asks, blind dates, are they good? Lee, have you ever been on a blind date?
No, I was set up on one, but it never eventuated, actually. But I am surprised that I've never been on one.
What happened?
I left,
set up on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I left the country.
Wow, so, you're that desperate not to go.
No. Well, I
jumped
was,
on a water slide and I was out of there.
No, I was supposed to sort of, we were supposed to go earlier and then it got delayed and, you know, week extended.
This is Australia?
Yeah, it was in Australia. Okay. And then it dragged out by, you know, an extra sort of, you know, when about a month after it was supposed to happen. And I was like, I'm actually going, so it's not going to happen. So unfortunately, no.
Damn.
No.
Could have
no.
been.
Yeah.
JD, have you?
No, I don't. Dated a girl who was blind in one eye. Does that count?
Pirate patch?
No, oh, just straight up glass eye.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, glass eye.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. She was cool.
And I haven't. So, Matt, have you been on blind dates?
Are you the only one? Have.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I've been on many blind dates.
So, define.
I met Jill on a blind date.
So, when define a blind date, though. This is like,
okay,
I know
question.
A friend, or is Tinder considered a blind date?
You know what I mean? No.
Okay.
I would say there's a true blind date is where someone says, I would like to set you up with Janine, and you don't know anything about Janine and you don't see a picture of her.
Right.
Someone is vouching for that person. But I would almost argue that there are no blind dates anymore because it's so easy to take pictures, share pictures, or to find someone online that I would argue there's probably very few truly blind dates where you don't know what the person looks like at all. But I would still say if you see a picture of the person, but you've never spoken to them, that's a blind date.
Okay.
Yeah, I because I think the one that I got set up on, first thing, show me a photo. I mean, that's, I think, just a natural reaction. And this was before the phone.
So you're very shallow.
Oh, absolutely. And it comes to blind dates. I mean, of course. You know,
when it comes to blind dates.
Listen.
You're like Ricky.
When it comes to blind dates,
she told me she's wearing a white chiffon scarf. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to be afraid to say, like, someone said, hey, you want to go with this chick? I said, well, you got to show me a photo first because, I mean, I mean, for a blind date, I think it's okay.
One photo enough? Like, what about just face? You need to, well, you, need you to know,
and again, this was before mobile, smartphones anyway. So it was like it was almost like a passport photo. So, you know, you're going off that.
So she wasn't smiling?
She was, but, you know, it was, you know.
So hold on. So, lighting. This is the blind date that never happened.
Yes.
So clearly, you weren't that blown away by. Otherwise, you may have stayed in the country an extra day.
Let's be honest. She probably asked for a photo of me, and she wasn't exactly enforcing the blind date either. Yeah. So when she was told I left the country, I never got an email or.
What did you use? Your driver's license? Or,
no, because I don't know what the person who set me up on that side. Showed or even had, you know, because we didn't just carry around photos of each other. But now this is probably a bit irrelevant because I can't share the story, but I did set up a friend on a blind date and it was the most amazing story, but it's very inappropriate for a hot mic here, unfortunately, so that doesn't help anybody. But I am
thanks for bringing
it.
Cool. Thanks, man. Well, let me ask you this. Is it what happened on the date that's inappropriate, or is it the way you set them up?
No. It was when we got the review from one side, and then we got the review from the other side, and it was just
were
wild
they opposite?
Stuff.
Like, was one in love and we're getting married, and the other was like, that's the worst person.
They were both into each other. The guy was up for a second date, but the girl was. Definitely not.
Okay, why was she not?
I know. I have to draw a line. At
no
some
one knows
point.
Who you're talking about.
No. Because it's not something I want to share because the man listens to this show too.
Oh,
and he,
okay, there we go. There it is. All right. Sorry, Chizzy.
Okay, so the guy was into her. The girl
found out he only had eight toes.
I hesitated about even bringing it up because I couldn't go into the depths of it. But
they went to a water park on their first blind date and saw eight toes on this guy. Out of here.
So a point I'd like to make is I think a lot of people think blind dates are bad. But what I would like to posit is that blind dates are good. The people that are setting you up on blind dates are bad.
Okay.
So, interesting. Disagree. Well, disagree.
I'm just saying generally because especially when I moved to L.A., it's a giant city. Everyone, like, let's say my parents or people that know my parents, everyone knows someone that lives in L.A. And the more distance between the person setting you up and the person they're setting you up with, so it's like, oh, this is our best friends in Montreal's cousin's daughter moved to L.A. Mm-hmm. Almost always going to be terrible because this is as far as people think of it. You're single. This other person's single.
Right.
You live geographically close to each other. Therefore, you would be good together. And I would like the people to put a little bit more thought into it because you get into the situation where you're like, they're like, oh, you'd get along with her so great. She's so funny. She's so cute. She's so interesting. And then you go on the date and you're like, this person, I mean, is not just like, okay. Like they really suck. Like either they're mean or mean spirited or they're not funny at all, or they're really not interesting. And it starts to make you feel crazy because you're like, but you said that we'd get along. So do you not know me at all, or do you just think that I would actually like this person? And when that happens a few times, you do start to go a little crazy and start being like, all right, no more setups.
Yeah, but they're saying that, I mean, they could be saying it for a number of reasons or like building this person up, but it's really just like they can't say to you, you should go meet this person. They're very average.
But if they all are.
I mean, that's what they should say.
But Skeets, if you knew someone that was average, you would never even bring it up to me. You would never say.
I wouldn't waste your time or really anyone's time if I didn't think there would be something that could click. Yeah. I mean, that said, like, some people, should probably just, like, give it a go more often. Some people can get too, like, this person doesn't check this box and this box and this box and this box. Yeah. Okay, you're trying to find the perfect person. Why don't you just go meet this person? It's 2 hours out of your night, you don't hit it off, you don't hit it off. But I think you can find a middle ground.
The Seinfeld episode with George when he's trying to set him up and he wants to know about her cheeks and her hair.
It's like
those things are far too far for a blind date. You should just go along and meet her. But
I agree with you. And that's why it's just a picture. Like, are you vaguely attracted to this person? And if that's the case, then just go.
Yeah.
Because frankly, you could be chatting with someone on a dating app and really be no closer to actually knowing if you're going to like them when you meet them in person.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm so glad I dodged the dating app life. Right. It looks
like
hell.
What do you think you wouldn't like about it?
It seems like hell. The people I know who are on it, they just hate it. It just feels like people are just looking to hook up, fine. But it just, it to me, nobody's really happy doing it. They're just like, you can't trust anyone. You know, they're seeing other people all on the side. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad I never had to go through it. So
it's interesting that you say that, because what I find is that people that grew up in the online dating world and have done it for a while generally hate it. But the people that are older and are married or with a long-term partner are like, oh man, you're so lucky. Like, you just turn on your phone and there's all these chicks there. And you can, you know, Tinder, you just hook up with them and it's so cool. Yeah. But I think that is a misunderstanding of what it's actually like.
Yeah, I think that the ratio is insane. Like, the amount of men who will swipe, what's the good one? Swipe right or left?
Right.
So if you swipe right, that's you like the person. So I think it's like men swipe right 60% of the time, right? Women swipe right 4% of the time or something like that. So like, you know, so how does that even work?
At the start of online dating, I was literally getting paid like $20 to write fake women bios or whatever. You know, like put in hobbies, write a little story about myself.
Right.
I was cranking these out, man. It was incredible.
Just fake fake people?
Yeah, because there's 90, this app is 90% men at the time. And, you know, like there's barely any women. So it's like, make it seem like there's more women out there.
Do you play sports? What sports do you play?
Squash.
I played you at squash. You're rubbish. I'm not going to play her, am I?
No, I'm sure it's a little different. Right now, because that was the start of online. It's not as taboo and blah 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 blah. But
let's not go into online dating, because truly that could be its own topic.
True.
Let's say I'm saying they're good, but I'm generally good. The people that are setting you up on them are bad.
Again, I disagree, because it's sort of like a reference, a character reference that you're providing.
True.
And if someone says, okay,
Matt's saying that people are, they don't take it like that. They should.
Yeah.
People that do it seriously, you know, there should be blowback on you if you set up
take some pride in your work.
And
some goddamn thought into it.
Yeah. That's why
Not every two people that are single should be introduced to each other. Again, you never know. You do have to take some chances, but at least peg it at like 30% to 50% that you think there might be a second date.
Yeah.
Again, they would have to get married, but okay, Lee.
Good.
Okay. JD.
I mean, I'm not qualified, but I'm going to say bad just because it just seems fraught with, you know, as you say, you're just set up and it's just a big time waster most of the time, I would say.
Well, I would say that's the other thing, is that because you're set up, you kind of feel like you owe the person more than if you go on an online date.
Yeah,
with
that's a good point.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this didn't work out. Then you're just like, okay, well,
it
that
feels like you have to be more
people.
Gentle with the moving on.
It's sort of less
just because you know sort of people.
It is a little bit that, but not like saying I would be a dick to people from online dating either. It's just that if that person likes you and wants to go on a second date, then you kind of feel more pressure to be like, well, they're so-and-so's friend, so now I kind of feel like I got to give it another shot.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. What are the people saying?
Well, the people are saying no.
Yeah.
61%.
Really?
I'm a little shocked by that.
Maybe they've been burned. You know,
people, you think so?
Maybe they're like, my friend set me up. It was
I think we
disaster.
Got a lot of lonely people joining us here on this stream team right now.
Definitely, if they're joining us. No offense, stream team. No offense.
I did have a not a question. I was like looking this up because like I've never done this, and I was like, what do people, besides just meeting for drinks or dinner, Matt? Like, what do people do on a blind date? And I stumbled upon this website, which I thought was pretty interesting. Other things to do on a blind date. So I thought we'd ask Lee if you would do them. Like, you think it'd be a good idea or a bad idea?
Yes.
Blind date. Okay.
Yeah.
Meet at a street food market and go for a wander.
Sure. Danforth Food Festival. Yeah. I think that's
so something
good,
like that.
Yeah. You keep moving. There's a lot of people around. There's not the pressure of like sitting at a table where you just got to maintain that conversation, you know, you can sort of
Okay. And Matt, obviously feel free to jump in here too if you've done it even before. I think you're up on that one. That's not a bad one, right?
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Okay. What about peruse an art gallery?
Well, it depends on if you want to. If you're into art, yes. But if you're trying to say, look how sophisticated I am by going to an art gallery, and you don't really know too much about it, you're not into it, and that other person is, then it could blow up in your face a little bit. So you need to be educated on where you're going.
Don't call it the Mona Lindsay.
Exactly. Don't just try to show how cultured you are if you're not.
Matt, what do you think?
No, too quiet, too austere. Be somewhere where you could have something that you're holding in your hands, like a drink I would say normally, but if you don't drink, like a coffee or food or something like that.
Sure. Too quiet is a great... You've got to, like, if feels like you've got to fill that space.
Yes.
Like, literally the spaces you're in are giant, too, in a museum or in our gallery or something like that.
Plus, it's such a fine line that you're walking. If you know a lot about art, you could come off as being very pretentious. Yeah. And then if you don't know anything about art, you could look like a dummy, basically. Okay. So,
I think I know your answer to this one. Go to the zoo. Look at the animals together.
Interesting. I love the zoo. But not everyone does. So you're taking a bit of a risk there. It's similar to the art gallery in, like, you know, are you trying to sort of show you know all this stuff about animals, or are you just like wandering around?
You don't have to be dropping animals.
You're not an 8-year-old boy. You're not like, the Komodo dragon is actually one of the fastest lizards.
Hey, you can feed the giraffes at the Atlanta Zoo here. I mean, that's a great thing. But again, maybe she's like, I don't want to do that.
Some people are very anti-zoo too. Like,
because just having the animals in captivity for one thing, but also a lot of awkward situations could arise on a first date, like a chimpanzee whacking off, or you know,
it's a good icebreaker.
A huge dump from an elephant. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. But also
that's a memory you've got. Yeah.
Memory.
Cats. Look at the big cats. Okay. How about, I got two more. Head to a comedy night, Matt. Let's throw that one at you first.
No.
Why?
No. This is like people that think going to a movie on a first date is good. You're not talking to the person. Yeah, it's as if the date didn't happen.
Yeah.
What about the post, the post drink or the post coffee or whatever? What do you think?
No,
about
it's
the
awkward. I like. It's like if she laughs at certain things that you don't find funny, or she. I'm telling you, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, no. That sounds bad. Lee,
do something where you could speak to each other.
Okay.
Yeah, not first date, no. I think second or third, you could probably say, hey, you want to go and have some laughs? But you also don't want to sit too close up the front, because then if the MC starts, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, like, is this a date? You know, have you had sex yet? So things like that. Like, you probably want to avoid that. I would think.
Especially when you get the classic guys like, oh, you two, is this a date? And then the guy goes, yes. And then the girl goes, no. And
let's find out more about these two. Okay. And final one here, first date, blind date, really. Yeah. Play mini golf, Lee.
Nah.
No.
Nah,
really?
You don't
want to
get
something.
Yes.
You don't want it. Maybe someone gets a little too competitive or anything like that.
Well, that's a nice way to find out if maybe this person's a little too competitive.
Nah.
Not on a blind date. JD or Matt? I mean,
100% in on.
Yeah, totally fine.
Yeah.
It's an activity that if the conversation's not flowing, you could talk about the thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
You could be excited when, you know, she taps it in.
Yeah.
Good job. And a lot of opportunities for touching. Like, you start with maybe a high five when you sink a putt.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Sky knows.
I've been around the 18th hole.
You're in the windmill.
Also,
it on. All right.
Everybody sucks at mini golf, which is also good.
True.
Right?
Generally. So. Yeah, because people that are really good at golf, they're not usually doing mini golf.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you're really good at mini golf, that's a red flag right there.
100%.
All right. Good. I'm glad we got that.
Okay. Last one here. And I'd like to do this one quickly.
Okay.
Aaron W. asks, self-checkouts at stores, is this good? I mainly want to know one thing. And I need everyone to answer this question. Have you committed theft at a self-checkout machine, either by not scanning an item or scanning in a cheaper item, or at the very least even taking the bags that where it's like you have to pay for the – I don't know if you have to do that in Atlanta, but here you have to pay for the bags.
No, you generally don't have to. Yeah. Okay. No, I haven't.
Certainly not intentionally, no.
You've never stolen anything from self-checkout?
No.
I mean,
I respect the self-checkout. I respect it.
What about the money they're saving on not hiring people?
Yeah, but my only thing about self-checkout, there should be a like, if you've used self-checkout before, go to these ones.
Yep.
And there's one that's like for the first time users.
Training checkouts.
Yeah, yeah, that's 100%. The only thing that drives me crazy.
But that, it's getting better. Like, yeah, when they first came on the scene, it was a nightmare.
It was, yeah. Yeah. But you see some people, you know, and they're just, it's like, what the hell am I doing here? You know, and they've got like a loaf of bread, some milk, and they still can't figure it out. And you're like, you got to just go into the other line, you know. You're in and out. The self-checkout, I like, you're like, boom, I'm in, I'm out. You don't have to wait for anyone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Skeets, can you do a poll on the fly? Is that possible?
I mean, I can. I just put up the self-checkout one, but I absolutely
can. Okay, I don't know. This is more important.
Okay.
Have you ever stolen using self-checkout, yes or no?
Okay,
I need to know.
Okay, these people are quick at voting. I'll leave self-checkout up for a second, and then have you ever stolen will be the next question. No, so Matt, you've stolen? Why? What are you? You have
what
money.
Are you doing,
why?
Man?
I don't care if people steal, but like, if you need that
because,
milk, you need
because
that milk.
Look, I don't go crazy.
So
I know some people that go like truly crazy with the stealing. But
wow,
my thing is like,
wow.
I'm trying to scan this thing. I've tried to scan it 3 times and it's like a pack of gum.
Oh, sure. Okay. Okay.
Maybe. I'm taking that pack of gum.
Okay. Okay. That's fine.
Sure.
Because now they've made it an inconvenience for you and that should be the cost.
It comes back to being good at it and knowing where those barcodes are.
Oh, jeez.
But it doesn't matter. First of all, you ever tried to buy booze?
No, you're not usually allowed to buy
that. No,
exactly.
you gotta go, ma'am,
yeah,
ma'am,
yeah.
You want to check my ID because it won't let me put it in.
You can't do it without approval.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's like, you put something in the bag, it's like, then it says the bagging areas, I don't know.
But I bring my own bags anyway, so. You know.
No, but you know how you have to put it over the thing so it feels a weight?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the machine goes off again, someone's got to come put in the code. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay, so Matt, 82% saying self-checkout's good. People like them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know why they're saying it's good? Because they like stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
What the problem is. I hate to say this.
Say
but
it.
It turns out that I'm better at checking out than the person in the that has the job of checking out.
Yeah. This has always been one of your pet peeves, though. The bagging and...
Oh, I'm a huge let me do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
doing
yeah.
it
yeah,
10
yeah.
times faster,
yeah.
and I'll do it the way I want. And I get it. Like, you've been there all day. You don't want to do this. I get it. You're standing on your feet. Just let me do it. So that's why I love a self-checkout.
Yeah.
But what's happening
have you
now,
ever been to
though,
Trader Joe's?
Is the lines are getting longer
yeah.
at the self-checkout.
I never
yeah,
go.
But they're usually not too many items, though.
No, people don't want to do 100
yeah.
items. That's
yeah.
a good point.
So I agree that you sometimes look and go, oh, man, I want self-checkout, but they're 10 deep. But then you go...
You're right.
You look at their arms or whatever they're carrying. They've got 4 or 5 items. They're going to be in and out. And I think they've got the same mentality. They're like, we know. We're going to get in there, zip in and zip out, and
yeah,
you'll
you're
be
right.
fine.
You're right.
So, sorry, Skeets, you think you can bag as well as a Trader Joe's bagger? Because,
most
no,
them.
You can't.
Most of them.
Ah.
Yeah. I do it. I'm talking,
no.
I do it all the time.
No.
Not a Trader Joe's. Those guys are
Trader
amazing.
Joe's.
I've
guys,
never
let me make this clear.
Like
you got to help them out if you want to do things quick in life.
Oh,
like
I agree with that.
Help them out. They,
yes.
And if but now, they don't want you to help if you suck at it.
Yeah.
Because then you're actually gonna make it worse for them.
Right.
But if you can know what you're doing, then they have always every time I've done it at Trader Joe's, Matt, they're like, yeah, thank you, like.
You get that little
because
bench.
Then they can focus on the. They don't have a lot of room at those Trader Joe's.
No,
little
they
things.
Don't.
So
that's
just,
why they're so good.
Well, no, I'm not saying they're not good. They're generally good. I like to think they're probably paying them a little bit more than a Target person's being paid to check things out. I don't know.
Here's how I help people. It's the order that you put things on the conveyor, right?
Big.
That's huge.
Big.
You the stuff that you want in the bottom of the bags, you just put at the front of the thing. That's how I help. I never get involved with the bagging unless I'm asked to, but that makes a huge difference. If you're putting peaches and then 8 bottles of wine, forget it. Those peaches are dead. Like, and why do they have to reach over the peaches to get the wine that you fucked up and put
sure.
on the conveyor first?
That's nice.
So.
That's nice. But that's people struggle to look one step ahead, let alone 10 steps
you're
ahead.
You're right.
And they would say, well, why would I do that? It's not my job.
Put me down for bad, by the way.
What?
For self-checkout.
That's
I hate
crazy.
Them. Pay people.
Put me down for bad,
I'd do
too.
It at like Home Depot.
Oh,
I
do it everywhere.
All
everywhere.
Those places.
Yeah. If they have it, I'm in.
Buying one thing at Home Depot is not the same thing as a grocery cart full of food.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I like Lee was saying this. I won't do it at a grocery store if I have like a $200 worth of groceries.
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems a little much because you need the conveyor belt now to put it all on and all that. But anything under 20 items, like so, a quick run into a grocery store or any sort of Target run or any like Home Depot or something like that, always.
Yeah.
I use it too. I still don't think it's good though. Mm. Do we have an answer to people stealing?
Yes, we do. Have you ever stolen from a self-checkout? 64% of our stream teamers say no, they have not. So 36% have stolen. And you know nothing what? I bet these stores, they did the math on it. And they said, hey, people are going to steal stuff. It doesn't matter, though, because we're saving all the money. And I guess people don't have to hire. And it's just it's baked into their expenses. That's what they're doing. They know people are stealing stuff.
Oh, yeah. But that's fine. I mean.
Well, I read this thing that said, this guy said, if you had a retail store where 50% of the transactions were through self-checkout, losses would be 77% higher.
Wow.
That's insane.
Wow.
Wow.
But now we can't go back.
No.
No, you can't go back.
In fact, yeah, the opposite. Yeah,
I feel like they used to, correct me if I'm wrong, there used to be a little bit more of checking of your receipt, of your bags, That's gone.
They still have the attendant there, but they're basically
But they're not like, sir, let's see.
No. They're basically just like, you need help, you know, scanning the asparagus or something like that.
Oh, that's another good reason with the groceries part.
Yeah.
You got to know all the codes on the produce.
Yeah, but these days the photos usually you can just like...
It's right there, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
And then it weighs it, and then you're through.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Because most emails that come through the Is This Good email account are short and have direct questions, but some are a cry for help. Some contain deep life questions where advice is needed. People are confused and they need our counsel. So it's time to settle this. All right, so Maddie P. wrote in and he asks, hi guys, encores at the end of concerts. The band makes a big show of walking off stage. The audience claps and whoops for 5 minutes. Then they come back and do another 2 to 3 songs. Does it really add anything to the concert? Can't they just add those songs to the end of their set and then say, that's it, see you next time? Is it time to end the encore?
Wow, music hit right at the perfect time there.
Lee, what do you think? Is it time to end the encore?
Yeah, it probably is, to be honest. I think in the old days, there used to be a little bit of a dance between the audience and the band.
Used to mean something.
Yeah, where it's like, come on, we want you to come back. And they're like, well, we're done. Come on back. And then it was almost like you were talking them into it. You know, it was almost like they were like, all right, you're still here. Let's give you one or two more. But now, like Billy Joel has 5 encore songs.
I mean, it's basically an intermission.
Yeah.
Hold on. 5 encore songs or 5 times he goes back?
No. 5 encore songs. Yeah. He comes out and he starts We Didn't Start the Fire and he goes through a couple of those ones. And honestly, 5 is too many. I would say 2 max if you're going to do it. But it does feel like it's no longer the audience like convincing the band that, hey, we're not done.
It's
come on.
Baked into the concert, the performance.
Yeah, I don't think they really add anything anymore because you know, it's like, all right, we know what you're doing. You're going for a piss and you're going to come back and you've got to do a couple more songs and that's it. So just play the way through.
I love when you go to a show and they're like, they do the setting up of the encore and they're off stage for literally like 15 seconds.
Yeah,
so it's like, now what? Why are you even walking over there?
Yeah.
Turning around and coming
back. It probably
only
takes 15 seconds to do a line of cocaine.
That's true. Just do it on stage.
Yeah.
But I think the bands that go off and then come right back, I sense a little insecurity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're worried people
are just going to leave.
Well, people do anyway. I mean, people do. I think a lot of people see the encore as like, right, that's it, I'm done anyway.
Yeah, beat the traffic.
Yeah, exactly. That's the like leaving a game when, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter or whatever, you're just like, all right, I'm done.
But you're going to miss the best songs because
well,
the
some
encore
of them depends.
Is usually the
that's
biggest
subjective.
Bangers.
That's subjective though as well.
Did you leave before Elton John? His encore?
No, because I'm still standing.
The last song was Lincoln went, and it was Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, that's right.
The final
song. Which that to me, that's nowhere near his best song, like at all. But you know what's coming, and you know it's like this is the last time I'm going to see him until next year.
this is
an encore like show from Elton.
Yeah.
You know, so
Well, I'm going to say no. You can't just add the songs to the end of the set. I know it's pageantry and ceremony, but I do like it when the band goes off stage. And I do like the build of the cheering and the banging. And then I love when they come back and it's like an extra big pop, like the guitar player will usually walk on first. Or you just see the drummer go behind the set and everyone's like, oh, they're coming back. And then they're playing, you know, probably their 2 to 3 biggest songs. I don't know.
But
it,
don't
to me,
you
it's part
don't
of the
you
experience.
Think you would have enjoyed that show more if the crowd had to earn it, so to speak? Like,
yes,
that's what I would.
The crowd does earn it. The crowd does earn
but
it.
But they don't. But they don't earn it because every crowd
but
gets
you're going
it.
To I mean, I don't know. They're, like, ideally, the kind of shows
it.
I'm going to are in like smaller clubs. Right. Like, I can't speak to like going to see something at a football stadium. But I'm sure it's loud as hell at a football stadium.
No, of course it is. But my point is, you're not like it would be nice. And the band doesn't want to do this because then they're just going to piss off people. That's the problem now.
Right.
So it's not like they go like, oh, this crowd was sort of average. I mean, they weren't really that into it as much as like that other crowd in the other city. But we got to do it. We can't just like say, all right, good night. No encore.
Yeah.
Like they'll be, you know, then you're going to have, you got 20,000 people or if it's a smaller crowd, whatever. They're pissed off. So now they have to do it. That's the part I hate.
No, they don't have to. Because if the crowd really sucks or they're not feeling it, what they do is they'll just tack on their whatever the last encore song was going to be, just tack it on to the end of the set so everyone's heard their biggest song.
Yeah.
Usually everyone knows the concert's over when their biggest song's been played. They walk off and the house turns the house lights on and it's over.
I mean, I feel like that's not happening all that often. It's like,
okay, so your team get rid of encores.
Yeah, absolutely. No. I'm team, I want encores, but I don't want them at every show. Like, I think they have to be, they have to mean something.
Yeah, so you're saying, like, the house lights have to be up and nobody's leaving.
Hell
and
yes.
And they're going to rip this place apart if Elton John doesn't come
That's
back.
That's probably how it started the first time, I imagine.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
Right.
It's like, guys, they want you to go back. They're already on the bus. And they're like, guys, come back. We're going to have a full-on riot if you don't play whatever
hit.
Yeah, but Skeets, in your scenario where they're not sure they're going to come back. Let's say, I don't, the Foo Fighters, who I'm just thinking of because they had that Taylor Hawkins tribute here last night, I think.
Okay.
If they play Everlong at the end of the set, and they've already played that and My Hero and whatever other songs there's people like, and the house lights come up, if they come back the songs are going to be anticlimactic. Like, they need to save something. They need to save an arrow in the quiver to launch it when people want them to come back.
You know what they do? Like, the Foo Fighters is a great example because they come out and do, like, Jive Talking or a cover of some sort, an unexpected cover. They want more. We've played everything. And this crowd wants more, and we're going to give them one more song, and this one's by Rush. Boom, boom, boom.
Right,
you know,
right,
like,
right.
That's what they do. I mean, but I'm with you, Skeets. I'm with both of you, actually, Skeets and Matt, because I don't think it's going anywhere. No. I do like, if I've had fun at the concert, I want to be, like, screaming for an encore. I know it's coming. But it's just like, it's fun. It's fun to scream your head off, you know?
Yeah.
After a night of, like, you're all on a high already, and then you just pushes you over the edge.
It'll be more fun. You're doing that, you're screaming, and they never come out. And you'll be like, holy crap. Wow.
Wow, what?
Damn.
A bunch of assholes.
Yeah, we did not bring it as a crowd tonight.
Yeah, that's on us. That's how we should feel.
Exactly. You got to look around and say, well, we weren't standing enough or we weren't dancing enough.
Hey, Elton is the real entertainer because he did the Hulk Hogan move last Thursday. He hurt his finger or something, and after one song, can't remember one, he slumped on the piano like this, and he was just like, ah, oh, man. You know, he's 77 or something like that, and he's still got great energy. He's up and down. And then all of a sudden he raised up, and then he's like, and he's back.
Like there's a referee holding his hand. What?
We thought, oh, no. No, he might not make it through the end of the show. And then he's back and he's dancing.
That's the old
great
James Brown, right? Where he hurts his leg before they help him off.
So Matt, this is from Pierre in the stream team. He wrote in, do you know I think they're a Canadian punk band. I think actually Blake Murphy loves this band and maybe knows the guys. Pup? You ever heard Pup?
Oh,
Pup?
Yeah, okay. Pup's awesome.
So Pup, Pierre says, covers themselves in sheets and they don't leave the stage. Pretty funny.
Those Canadian tricksters.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I love Pup.
Okay.
Okay, well, we got to settle this. So I'm like, would you rather live in a world where there are no encores or a world where there are? I'm saying.
So you're going that extreme, then sure. Then I'm keep them. But I would like them to mean a little something.
Yeah.
Because, well, I'll tell you what we should do. If the stream team gets the likes up here, if we get more subscribers, show ends. All right, Clipper Bros, see you tomorrow. people are pumped in the stream team. Suddenly we're back with like a bonus topic. Yeah. That's what we should do.
Well, that'd be cool. Okay, let's see.
Bring the encore to podcast to live streams. Wow. That's badass. But they got to earn it. It's got to hit so many likes, so many subscribers, whatever
maybe.
The metrics are.
Yeah. Right. We got nothing though, guys. Jive Talking. We're going to come back with Jive Talking.
We'll do Cats, our favorite
give
song.
Some slacks, yeah.
All right. Well, we're not going to go off and then make people cheer. We're going to do our final song right now. That final song is called Subjective Trivia. Yes, Subjective Trivia. It's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. As always, so you know I'm not cheating, I have the answer to this question written on this card. So sitting on the couch last night trying to find something to watch. I don't have cable anymore because it makes me feel young. And I was bouncing around the apps on my Apple TV, and that's when I thought of today's question, which is, what is the best streaming service?
Oh boy. Okay.
Talk it out.
We're not doing a top three list. We're just the number
just,
one.
No, just tell me what the best one is.
All right, well, let's talk them through,
so,
guys.
Netflix.
There's the, a classic.
Yeah.
Disney Plus.
HBO Max.
HBO Max to me.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Apple TV.
Hulu. Yeah. Well, what's Hulu? Is that
Hulu
a
is a thing,
that's
for sure.
That's a thing. There's, what's Sling? Sling count? Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's not Sling.
Sling
don't
is not a
it.
Thing.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, let's narrow it down to, I think we named all the big players.
Yeah.
It's one of those. So we got Netflix.
I think it's either Netflix, HBO Max, or for Matt.
Could be a Hulu if he's watching what's on Hulu these days.
I think it's either Netflix or
HBO Plus. There's also
he's in Los Angeles.
Paramount
remember that?
Plus, yeah.
So Paramount Plus. This guy's a big Survivor fan. He wants to watch all the
stuff. I'll tell you this, it's not Quibi.
right.
Disney Plus, I mean, that's
hold on. Pierre asking a great question. Is YouTube a streaming?
Well, yeah, YouTube.
No, short answer, no, it's not.
Okay. Hmm. That's interesting.
Not in the way. Not
yeah,
in the way.
Okay.
That
okay. Yeah.
Okay. YouTube TV. I mean. Okay.
Who knows? I'm like, why would he be asking that question? Like, no, but it's impossible.
Okay,
because
let's
it's,
just say
I don't know. It's necessarily the service. I mean, it's the content, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so Netflix, way more content.
Yeah.
Yes.
That you could see as a positive, maybe a negative, maybe you're a little too much at times. You're a little inundated with choices. HBO Max, it's got the prestige content, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm
generally
stepping out of bounds. Okay.
Matt, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Is this your favorite today, or is this some like you would pick this as an all-time best streamer?
Is this the one you watched last night?
Or is it like, is it what you settled on last night?
All-timer.
All-timer.
Oh, wow.
All-timer. I mean,
the all-time greatest streaming service.
I mean, it's not, people are saying, is it Apple TV Plus?
I mean,
I thought you would honestly get this immediately. I'm a little surprised. I thought you'd have a conviction and you would be right.
Well, I think we're... Okay, can we narrow it down? Do we have one of the right answers when it's either Netflix or HBO?
I can't. Just guess.
He did come a couple of weeks ago. It was the best... What was it? The best streaming show? It was I Think You Should Leave on Netflix. So the guy watches a lot of
Netflix. Right.
Well, okay. I just saw Rolling Stones had the best 100 television shows of all time.
Yes.
Sopranos number one. Hmm. A lot of HBO shows.
Yeah, like
you know,
20
cracking
made the
your
list
top 20. Yeah,
like
exactly. I'm saying HBO, so we will put this to vote. That's where mine goes.
HBO, sure.
JD.
I mean, it is going to be, that's going to be the answer. But put me down for Apple TV Plus just to swerve because Severance is there. I don't know.
All right. What is the answer?
All right. So what's your answer?
Yeah, we're saying.
It's Apple.
It's HBO.
It's HBO. Yeah. HBO.
All right. You guys are correct.
Yeah. Max. All right.
Okay. Here's some things that I've watched. You know, in the past year on HBO Max, Industry, The Rehearsal, Barry, White Lotus, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mayor of Easttown, Station 11, Hacks, Winning Time, Search Party, Righteous Gemstones, How Do with John Wilson, Succession.
Wow. Yeah.
Come on. It's just not even close.
Not
Netflix
close.
Is third. Netflix sucks.
This man, doesn't have children.
Things,
you don't have children, right?
I don't watch the Star Wars shit or the Marvel shit.
Okay.
So
yeah,
Disney Plus, get out of here.
Okay.
The thing I like best on Disney Plus was that documentary about the Thai... soccer rescue in the cave. And they have some good Nat Geo stuff about like rock climbing and things like that.
Did you watch
Hulu,
Get Back?
Get Back was, great. Okay. But Hulu, Dropout, Pam and Tommy, was it the greatest? No. Dave, High Fidelity, I like Normal People. Fargo's great. The Great is great. The Bear is great. You're the Worst was really good. Pen 15, Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Res Dogs, I haven't seen, but people say it's great. Netflix,
great.
If you don't like Stranger Things, Netflix sucks.
Whoa, wow.
Netflix sucks.
There it is.
All right.
Wow. There it is. HBO Max.
There it is. So, Skeets, you would say Netflix for you personally?
No. But, okay, here's my question back to you. How many do you pay for? How many streaming sites does Matt Austin have? This guy loves content.
Pay for HBO Max.
Or I will say share with a friend, you know.
Oh, so then all of them.
You've got access
sorry. No,
to
no,
all
I don't,
of them.
No Paramount Plus, no Peacock. But yes, Amazon Prime. Yes, Apple TV. Disney Plus, I don't pay for. I use my sister's. Yeah. Netflix, I don't pay for. I use my parents. But Hulu and HBO Max.
You're stealing from the supermarket. You're stealing from content providers as well. I mean.
Stealing? Is this good?
Hey, holler at me after the show.
True story. I used to pay for Netflix until about 3 months ago when I realized I had not put it on in months and was like, why am I paying for this? And I just stopped paying for it.
Good for you.
Had been paying for Netflix since it started.
I think they raised the cost too, I believe, or something like that. Hey, holler at me after the show, man. I'll get you hooked up with a sweet peacock
log. Wow. Okay. Ooh. Sick. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Well, that's it. If you have topics, tweet them to me at StartersMatt or email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Do you guys have anything to promote?
Well, we got a No Buffs Survivor episode coming tomorrow here from the Classic Factory. No Buffs has its own YouTube and podcast feed. If you're a Survivor fan, get in our pool, okay? You're in the fantasy
pool.
Make your picks. Matt, are you in?
Lee, that That pool is full of piss and shit.
No, there's a clean pool. Yeah. There's a lot of people in it, though. That's good. We might have some feces floating around here soon. Some aqua dumps, I guess, with Survivor. Matt, are you in the pool, the Survivor pool? No bus?
I'm not in the pool.
Oh, you've got... you're running out of time. You actually have about 6 hours or so to lock in your picks for tonight's episode. But yeah, no buffs tomorrow. Tass just had a no bunts with Blake Murphy, who I did point out is a big pup fan. I don't know. For some reason, I know that. And yeah, a bunch of other content earlier this week. And then next week, for you NBA sickos, it's about that time. Over-under podcast coming your way. And then the following week, Burning Questions, our season preview podcast, Monday through Friday. So, I mean, we're almost full on in it here with the NBA content, but is this good? We'll continue, and no bunts will continue throughout the postseason for baseball. F1, Trey's back next week with that.
Next week, yeah. That'll take us to the end of the season.
There's going to be a lot of podcasts coming at you in the next couple weeks. So you don't need an encore unless you got. Very excited. Come on. Everybody start a slow clap in the stream team right now.
One more question.
Whoop it up, Jax. Yeah. Whooping it up. Woo, woo.
No. Do it after I do the end line. And then we'll see if it's good enough for us to come back.
Okay, we're going to find out.
Okay. Thanks for listening. For everyone, I'm Matt Austin, and this was good. See you next week. Or in 2 to 3 minutes.
Well, do we have to get up and leave and come back? Yeah, I don't know.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.